The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Now, juvenile sentencing for sex offences and rape hit the headlines in the UK this week when it came to light that a judge had given three boys convicted of the rape and serious sexual assault of two underage girls rehabilitation orders rather than prison sentences. Bravely, one of the girls and her parents spoke to Victoria Derbyshire on BBC's Newsnight, their words voiced here by actors, and also we'll hear a Labour MP who gave his emotional response.
It's heartbreaking. With exams going on, there were dreams for her and her own dreams, and they've all been put back because we've seen her confidence in what she does and how she is in herself drop to a low. How much you try and pick her up and go, you can do this, and try and get that bit of motivation back into her that this does not end anything. To see her struggle, and it just breaks your heart. I think it's just, as a family, we are all there trying to do our best to support her. It doesn't stop with my daughter. It doesn't stop with us. The wider family is impacted, every single one of us.
She was happy, bubbly, outgoing. Now she doesn't really have a lot of motivation to do anything.
I feel like no matter what I do, I can always feel their hands on me. No matter how much I've scrubbed, how much I've tried to get that feeling away, it's always there. And it just doesn't feel like my body anymore.
Those girls deserve justice, as do their families, both for them, but also for other girls that are put in that position. And quite frankly, other boys need to know that they can't behave in that way and get away with it. No parent wants their daughter to be in those circumstances. And you don't want a society in which girls are growing up in those circumstances. Boys need to know they cannot behave in that way. It is not acceptable in society. And if you do, there must be consequences for it.
Well, all of that caused massive outrage and shock in the United Kingdom. And we were wondering, was what the judge did in line with sentencing guidelines? Because they do have those in the UK. And those judges and their guidelines, are they out of touch with public opinion? And what might the situation be in Ireland? Well, I'm joined by Nolan Blackwell, Online Safety Coordinator at the Children's Rights Alliance, former Chief Executive at the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, and of course, she herself, a lawyer. Nolan, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, so what the judge did there, was that in line with their guidelines for these kind of offences?
Yeah, so the main guideline that's set down, and it's also the law in Ireland, is that where a young person commits an offence, that custody is always the last resort and the focus has to be on rehabilitation. So that's where the guidelines go. And when I was reading that case back again, just in thinking about today, I saw where the parents and the child, you have to absolutely just give them such credit for struggling to deal with this, but also going through the legal system and going through to the end. They made the point it was a life sentence for their daughter and for the other girl as well.
So rehabilitation for the perpetrators, no rehab for the daughter.
So that's a different story. So how do you actually give that girl and the other girl who was also a separate victim of the same young offenders, how do you give them all of the supports, all of the rehab they need? If they had been knocked down by, say, the kids in a stolen car or something like that, there would be much more available than there is for a young person like this.
But at the same time, that question of rehabilitation, you know, you can almost hear the judge saying, they're very young, we don't want to, you know, one mistake made, da-da-da, in their youth shouldn't define the rest of their lives. If they go to prison, it'll be basically a school for crime if they go in there. That's all very well, and it's bleeding heart stuff. Because these guys need to be punished for their wrongdoing.
Yeah, so
never mind rehabilitation. Yeah. They might need that as well.
It's not just bleeding heart. The research actually shows that prison does have that capacity to criminalize a young child for life. So you don't actually improve society, you don't improve the public, but also you have to recognise that children of 14, 13 and 14, as those three young offenders were, they do not have all of the capacity of an adult. So at international level, the Convention on the Rights of the Child says you don't punish a child by custodial sentence except as a last resort. We say the same. And in 2017, we actually closed down St. Pat's Juvenile Institution Place and set up Oberstown, which is effectively a school for young people, so that where it recognises that if you have to have a custodial sentence, then this is where you go. And in the UK cases, the prosecutor is actually appealing them to the appeal court, because actually they're kind of in line with sentences that have been given in the UK in recent years. These have, where victims, where offenders of rape are not being sent to jail. And maybe it's time that the UK appeal courts took a look at that again, to just identify, still, is that still the best in the public interest, as well as in the interest of victims, as well as in the interest of the offender?
You heard from the girl, and there was a lot more we could have played from that interview, yeah, as voiced by actors. But I mean, she's lost her liberty effectively. She, yeah, doesn't want to go out. These guys should have lost their liberty, because that would be part of, if you like, the punitive element of the sentence. Instead, they're being rehabbed.
Yeah, and their parent, I mean, the dad, I think, said at one stage, we knew we wouldn't get a life sentence, but our daughter has got a life sentence. So that is the awful truth about it, is there is no punishment to fit that particular crime. But what do we want out of it in the long term? So everyone agrees that that should not have happened to that girl. How do we stop it happening to other girls? Is it putting people in prison? Is that the way it goes forward? Is that the best way of dealing with it? That's where the public, where everything in your heart says that girl should be safe. It's going to take time for her. It's hopefully she will come through. She has great parents and family by the sound of it. Hopefully the other victims do as well. And the state has to step in a lot more than it does for young victims of crime and sexual abuse, because there is this this problem whereby they have to go and find their own rehab. They have to find their own way around it. And we're not used to dealing with that.
Now, one of my texters is saying these individuals have the capacity to plot, to lure, and then video the rapes. Yeah. So this wasn't something that just happened, you know, yeah, everyone having a few cans in a field and something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't happen either, by the way. Yeah. I'm not condoning that. But I'm saying this was set out deliberately to do. And that's maybe that it furthers the outrage.
And it was a second time they'd done it. They'd, yeah, done it previously a few months to another child. So this is not to take, like, the judge, again, I am always very slow to talk about one particular case. You have to be in court. You have to, sure, hear everything that's said. But in this particular case, the judge, in his summing up, said he understood this was a very serious crime, aggravated by the videoing of it and the publication of that. So even with that, what do you do? These are children who committed extremely serious
offenses. Therefore, if putting them behind bars, incarcerating them is the last resort.
Yeah.
Surely this is a crime of last resort.
Well, again, that's what I can't say right here now, but that's why it's going to the appeal court, I think. But also the thing is, Pat, will it stop them? Does going to prison stop people committing crime? Or what does it do with young people? And all the evidence shows that you need more than to lock a child up in order to make sure that when the child gets out, as they will eventually, that they are not taught about a life of crime.
But the issue here would be also, if some of these guys do get punished rather than rehabbed,
yeah,
that to their mates who might have a similar kind of outlook on life,
yeah,
they would say, well, I'm not going to do that, because see what happened to George or Dave or whatever.
Yeah, but again,
I'm not going to do that.
That doesn't seem to be as big a factor as people would like it to be in all types of crime.
Okay.
It doesn't seem to impact. And the younger a person is, the less likely they are to feel that it applies to them. If you know, young people think they're absolutely invincible, that it won't be them. And that non-recurrence of the event doesn't seem to be a big feature in their lives in this type of crime. Now, this does not for any reason take away from the fact of how desperately serious it is, and how serious it is that sexual offenders, the number of child sexual offenders seems to be increasing.
This 4th of July, celebrate freedom from bad sleep at Sleep Outfitters. Right now, save up to 70% on best-selling mattresses from the brands you know and trust. Plus, with select Sealy purchases, get a free adjustable base to help you sleep cooler, deeper, and more comfortably. Not sure which mattress is right for you? Our exclusive BedMatch diagnostic technology helps match your body to the perfect mattress in just minutes. And get free white glove delivery and setup, plus our lifetime price guarantee and 0% interest financing. Hurry into Sleep Outfitters. These deals won't last.
And the question is, why? Is that down to online stuff? Is it down to porn? I mean, the fact that one of these guys was involved in this kind of thing from the age of 10. I mean, is this, is society changing so much? Like most 10-year-olds of my childhood wouldn't have known anything about this kind of stuff at all. Would never have seen imagery of this kind of stuff. You know, it would have been a complete mystery.
Yeah, so that has to be part of what is happening right now. And there is that question of, is porn and children's availability to stuff. And the fact that actually child sexual abuse material is being pushed at them, pornographic material is being pushed at them by bad products, by systems on the internet, digital companies pushing things where they're pushing children to see more and more content because porn pays. So one of the big issues we really, really have to get to terms with in the digital world is, when is the internet actually going to recognize a child? When is it going to stop any child accessing pornographic material? They have a number of ways of doing it already. I would love to put on a bet, but nobody will take it, that if all the tech companies put their mind to it, they could stop children looking and accessing pornographic material within a month if they wanted to. They probably have the tech, the skills, they certainly have the resources, but it doesn't pay them to do that. So that's where we actually need to, that's why Ireland and other countries are being forced to produce new age verification ways to stop these getting, stop children being pushed on them.
We saw what happened there, and it may lead to reform, and it certainly has led to outrage. The appeals may succeed on the part of the prosecution to get the sentences changed. How are we fixed in Ireland? I mean, we don't have sentencing guidelines. Or are there unspoken ones, or are our sentencing guidelines simply based on precedent?
Yeah, so the guidelines are there, well stuck into judgments over the years, so that you need to be an actual expert in order to read them properly. So it's a real issue in Ireland, is that we haven't had until recently even talk of sentencing guidelines. Now the judiciary have set up a system they meant to put in place, particularly for sexual offences, sexual guidelines, but they found that our data is so poor that they couldn't really do it that well. So they're starting to build that now, but we're way behind. And where we're really way behind is where somebody like the parents of that child, and they are going to make their child go through a judicial system or a court system that is certainly not fit for purpose in terms of sexual offences, to relive issues that they don't want to even have to think about anymore. And when they say to me or to anybody else, what is going to happen at the end of it? What is the sentence going to be? There's very little clarity about it. There's a couple of really good judgments now that you can give somebody to read, and they will say, for an adult, the minimum sentence for a conviction of rape will be 7 years. It could be more if it's a trusted relationship.
But it shouldn't be less. Now what happens once they get into the prison system, they may get remission and so on.
Yeah.
But the headline sentence would be 7 years.
Yeah.
And then you'll read a judge suspends the last 2 years for some reason, you know.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that.
Yeah, that's right.
So, why does seven not mean seven?
Yeah, so that's there's the engineering you're talking about, that like that would be the best thing. But you have to be able to personalise the sentence under our common law system. So for instance, if an offender pleads guilty and doesn't make somebody go through a trial, they have to be given credit for that. If they were in a position of authority, if it was a teacher, did it to a child, you have to give a longer sentence than that. If there was extreme cruelty, you have to give a longer sentence. You have to give credit to people where they have really shown that they have made efforts. So we personalise those sentences, and they can be reduced and they can be increased.
How good is our judiciary? I mean, I don't want to personalise it, but generally speaking, in terms of training and so on, are most of them basically barristers that The odd solicitor makes it to the High Court.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as a solicitor myself. That I don't mean the solicitors are odd, but that it is too few solicitors are going there, because what I am noticing is that over recent years, the breadth of our judiciary seems to be increasing. People are coming in with different experiences. People are coming in who have done a lot of crime, for instance, and they're now doing a lot of crime work as well. So they understand what it's like from either side. But even at that, there's still a lot of room. About 2 years ago, the University of Limerick did a piece of work for the Irish Council for Civil Liberties showing there's need for much greater diversity in our judiciary as well. So that's a work in progress. For lawyers as well, it is a very expensive training, mostly, to become a lawyer. And it's from being a lawyer, become a judge. So that's a lot of time, and there needs to be reform there.
Nolene Blackwell, who is online safety coordinator with the Children's Rights Alliance, former CEO of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, and of course, as she mentioned there, a solicitor herself. Thank you very much, Nolene, for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.